There's a list of 39 malachas. One of the malachas is kosev, one who writes. What language do you write in? So the Ramah quotes an opinion, a minority opinion from some Rishonim, that the malach of kosev is only violated in the Torah if you write either b'ksav ashuris, or if you write in Yevonis, in Greek. If you write in Latin alphabet, the way we do, or you write in script, Hebrew script, that would only be ksiva midirabon. Where do they come up to say such a thing? Because we pass on like the Tanna and the Mishnah Megillah in the first perek, you can only write kisvi hakodesh in ksav ashuris or in Yevonis. You can't write in any other language. So these Rishonim understood that the halacha doesn't recognize any other language. The Mishnah Gittin talks about writing a get and signing the get. So the get can be written in Ivris or in Yevonis. So these Rishonim hold the get cannot be written in any other language. In speaking, the halacha recognizes all languages. Kriya Shema can be recited in translation in other languages as well. But in written languages, so this opinion holds that there's only an Issa deraisa ksiva in Ashuris or Yevonis, other ksiva is only with the Rabbana. Where did they come off to say such a big chiddush? Because the Gemara in the first parak in Gittin says that Mishum Yisha Beretz Yisrael, Hakona Bayis Beretz Yisrael, if you buy from a non-Jew, if you buy up a farm or a house in Eretz Yisrael, you're fulfilling a mitzvah of Yisha Beretz Yisrael, buying it away from the Nochrim, it's coming into Jewish hands. So Mishim Bishav Eretz Yisrael, we permit you to write the shtar on Shabbos. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? You're crazy, write a shtar on Shabbos to be Mechal Shabbos with a melacha deraisa, how can it be? So the Gemara says, Ayyadei Nochri. So the Rishonim asks, so what? Ayyadei Nochri, we don't. So the Baal HaEter is of the opinion that we permit Amir L'Nochri B'malka Mitzvah, any mitzvah. So Yishav Eretz Yisrael is the same as any other mitzvah. But most of the Rishonim do not accept the Baal HaEter. We don't really accept that opinion of Shulchan Aruch. We only permit shvuz the shvuz by makam mitzvah. If you ask a nachri to do an isa derabbanan by makam mitzvah, that we allow. That's based on the Gemara in Erevin. Gemara tells the story. In the days of the Gemara, they used to bathe the baby with warm water before and after performing a bris to prevent infection. And Shulchan Aruch says that today we don't do it anymore. But in the days of the Gemara, this was considered you couldn't do a bris milah if you didn't bathe the baby with hot water. And if you performed, so let's say a baby was born on Shabbos and the bris milah is bismano is next Shabbos, so the milah is dech on Shabbos. So if you didn't have hot water, you don't perform the bris milah. And if you did perform the bris milah on Shabbos and you don't have enough hot water to bathe the baby after the bris, you're permitted, it's considered a safek sakana, you're permitted to heat up the water in order to prevent the baby from going into a safek sakana. In the days of the Gemara, it was considered a safek sakana. So the Gemara says there was once a baby boy was born on Shabbos, and the bris was scheduled for next Shabbos, and they prepared a kettle of burning hot water from before Shabbos. Then all the water was spilled out, so they didn't have any water. So there was water in it. Other people had hot water, but there was no Erev in the area. It was only a Carmelis. It wasn't the Rishus HaRab Deraisa. So the Gemara says they were permitted to ask a non-Jew to carry the Chotz HaShenim or Revis, because that's a Shvuz HaShvuz B'Mokha Mitzvah. So Tosfos in Gittin on the Chesam and Beis on this Gemara, when the Gemara says you're permitted to ask a Nochri to write to Shtar when you buy a farm or you buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew, so Tosfos has a suffix. That heter that you're permitted to violate Shvuz the Shvuz B'Makam Mila, is that only B'Makam Mitzvah's Mila? Because Mila is so chomer, Mila B'Zman is Decha Shabbos. You do a Malacha Deraisa when you perform Mila. So maybe the Machshirei Mila, to bring the hot water in advance of performing the bris milah, maybe the machshirei milah, also you have a cooler, unique davke to milah that a shvuz the shvuz is mutter, or maybe I should say that a shvuz the shvuz is mutter b'makam mitzvah any mitzvah. So that's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. The shvuz the shvuz mutter b'makam any mitzvah, not necessarily davke a milah. So the Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this heter, you're permitted to ask a non-Jew to fill out the document. If you want to buy a farm in Eretz Yisrael, so the Ramah says it's permissible because it's the shvuz, because they're writing in Arabic or they're writing in English. They're not writing in ksav ashuris or ksav yevonis. But if they would be writing the document, the shtar mechir in ksav ashuris or ksav yevonis, that would be a malocha deraisa of ksiva. So you don't have a shvuz the shvuz, so you wouldn't be permitted to do that. So the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't think we should paskin like that Ramah. the Ramah was machmer, that the heter of kos from olavon, afil b'shabbos, you're permitted to ask a goy to write the document, is even mutan Shabbos. So the Ramah restricts it only if it's a ksav other than Ashuris Ayivonis. The Mishnah Berurah thinks that it's incorrect because you don't accept this lenient opinion that ksav b'shal d'shoynis is only mid the Ramah. He says we shouldn't accept this Ramah's chumra because it's based on a kula, which is not correct. The ksav b'shal d'shoynis is only the Rabbanah. Or Chashulchan thinks that it's a forgery. He thinks that the Ramah never put it in the Shulchan Aruch. The printers put it in. Anyway, they both said that's hard to believe. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Chashulchan both say we shouldn't accept this opinion. In Europe, a lot of the doctors used to be a little lenient when they would be treating patients on Shabbos, that they would write. They would write in a ksav other than ksav Ashuris, other than ksav Yevonis, because we work on assumptions only the Rabbanah anyway, and therefore what? So it's awesome the Rabbanah. So therefore what? That I had to be Mechal Shabbos and Malach is the Rabban. Yeah. So the Maisa, we don't really paskan. We paskan that even to make a picture is a Malach of the Raisin. Not only Ksab B'Shal Shanis and other languages, just to be Roshim. Let's say I'll just make a couple of marks. I'll make a diagram. The Ramam says that all of this is a Malach of the Raisin. Let's say a person looks in a mirror and his image is reflecting, so that's ksiva. That's not ksiva. It's not only the ksav shena shel kayama. That's not a ksiva. It's just a reflection. But let's say I stand over here and my face appears on a video. Let's say the guard is over there. The guard is inside the house. And when he sees me on the screen, so he can't see me directly, but he can see on the screen. So when I stand in front of a mirror and there's a reflection, that's not ksiva. It's just a reflection. But if I stand somewhere, and then by video, my image appears on a different place. That's an issue of ksiva. That's going to be a ksav shenish al kayam. It's not going to be lasting too long, but still, it should be ksiva mid the rabbanon. So that's the question. How can anybody walk out of the house? Wherever you walk, there are video cameras, there are spaceships following everyone who walks in the street. That's how the police always catch all the ganovim. They caught someone who, years ago, they caught someone who broke into the building on Shabbos once. One of the students broke in because they have videos here all over the place. So how can you walk in the street? Everything is being videoed. It's a psikresha of ksiva. So what we usually say is that it's a psikresha de la nichalei. Psikresha is only a concept within the concept of dov sheinu miskav. Dov sheinu miskav means like this. I'm doing a pula hamuteros. I'm walking in the street. And while walking in the street, this may or may not cause a light to go on. I know that sometimes when you walk in the street, your motion causes the light to go on. So if I'm interested in causing the light to go on, so that's a Dova HaMaskavah. So I'm turning on a light on Shabbos. That's a Havara. If I'm not thinking one way or the other, I know in advance that by walking in the street, the light may go on. Or I know by walking in the street, there may be a video system set up, so I may be causing ksiva. So that's a Dova Shein and Miskava, and I'm doing Pula HaMuteris, walking in the street, which may or may not result in a Pula HaSur. But what if it's a Vadois? I know that the light will go on. I know that my image will be appearing on a screen somewhere. So that's called the Psikresha. So Psikresha, even though Dova Shein and Miskava is Muta, Psikresha is also. So Tosis quotes in the name of the Orach that if you have a the Orach has a lot of rice, if you have a Psikresha, Dolo Nichalei, this is mutter. Let's say I'm going to walk on the street. I'm not interested in the light, but the light goes on and out. There is sufficient light for me to see where I'm going anyway. I don't need the whole thing with my image to appear on the screen. I don't need the whole thing. It's neither here nor there. So that's called the psikresha de lo nichalei, psikresha de lo yichbislei. I don't care one way or the other. So the Orach is of the opinion that that's mutter. So in Shulchan Aruch, they leave it as a machloikis. Taisus disagrees with the Orach. Taisus says not true, that a psikresha de lo nichalei is muta min haTorah because it's a malocha shein tzvicha l'gufa. You're not interested in gaining any benefit from the result of the malocha, but it's still forbidden by the Rabban. Every psikresha lo nichalei is a malocha shein tzvicha l'gufa, which we paskin is awesome of the Rabban. So that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as a machlokes. What's din if you do a psikresha lo nichalei is a muta rasa? Daruch holds that it's muta, and Tosis thinks that it's awesome. So that's the shaila. Let's say wherever you walk, you're going to be in facing some video, and your image is going to appear somewhere or another. So it could be that the image is only going to be appearing briefly for a few seconds. So that's only koisev midirabbanan. Sab sheinu shel kayam is only midirabbanan. So that's a question. Maybe psikresha de la nichalei on a malacha de rabbanan there's more room to be mekel. That's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah that Chacham Ovadia talks about. When you have a psikresha de lo nichalei, and the whole melacha to begin with is only midirabbanan. So maybe it's mutter legamre, or maybe it's only mutter if it's a trade de rabbanan. Psikresha de lo nichalei plus that it's a shvuz de shvuz. So you have a triple de rabbanan. It's a shvuz de shvuz plus a melacha shen tzvicha legufam. So Rav Chacham Ovadia talks about that. How do you machriya and that steer in the Mishnah Berurah? He delivered that shiur twice in the yeshiva. Apparently that was a shiur that he had prepared, and on two different occasions he forgot that he already delivered the shiur, so he could deliver it the second time. So psikreshla nichla we usually avoid, unless it's only the rabbanon, so there's room to negotiate. So here, some of the contemporary poskim have pointed out that there's more room to be mekel by walking in the street with the videos. Why? Because there is a Mishnah Masechah Shabbos. The Mishnah gives a mashal, halamaza daima, certain cases muta, what is it to be compared to? The noil is beso, a person locks the door to his house, v'nim tzvi shomo bitocho. And it turns out that a wild deer is caught in the house when he locks it. So if an animal runs into my house, a wild animal runs in, and I'm interested in trapping the animal, and I close the door in order to trap the animal, that's a malacha tzad minatar. I'm doing a pull on the door, but I want the locking of the door to trap the animal. So that's a dava hamiskaven, so that's tzeda. So what about over here? So the Mishnah says that this is hetagomer. A person noil is beso, he locked the door v'nim tzvi shama betoch. It turns out that there was a deer that was trapped. So the pasha pshat is that I wasn't aware of the fact that by locking the door a deer was going to get trapped. That's called misasek. A person does a maisi, he didn't realize that this I didn't realize that by opening the door, the lights go on. I open the refrigerator door, the lights go on all of a sudden. So that's called misasik. So misasik is not called a maisaver at all. So I close the door, and it turns out, nimtza tzvi shama b'tech, I wasn't aware. So I'm not even chai b'chatos. Chatos only if you did a malocha b'shegeg, if you did an avera b'shegeg. If the avera was done by misasik, so it's not considered an avera at all. So that's perhaps pashup shat in the Mishnah. That's how the Ran learns. The Ran, on that Mishnah, it's around Daf Kuvava, so the Ran quotes the Rashba, the Chiddush Rashba, that daf. The Rashba says it's even permissible if you know in advance that the deer will be trapped, and even if you're interested in trapping the deer also, if your main intention by locking the door is to protect all of your belongings, and you have as a secondary intention, I'd like to trap the deer also. So the Rashba says he has a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi in that Mishnah, which the Rashba interprets to say that that's mutter. If your secondary interest is in trapping the deer, it's mutzah. So the Ran says that's utterly ridiculous. That's dova hamiskaven. That's mamsha malacha deraisa. How can that be mutter? So then the Ran says, and not only is that part of the Rashba wrong, even the other part is also very questionable. The person knows in advance that a deer, by locking the door to protect the house, to protect his belongings, he realizes that a deer is getting trapped. A deer is getting caught. So that's a psikresha de lo nicha, and he's not interested in trapping the deer. So in that case, that's a regular psikresha de lo nichalei, psikresha de lo ichbislei, doesn't care one way or the other. That's the machlokes, Tosfos and the Oruch. So that should not be permissible either. We should be machma like Tosfos, that should be osur. Psikresha de lo nichalei. So a group of later achronim, later poskim, thought that we should split over here. This machlokes is between the Rashba and the Ran. The Rashba's matter, even if he has that as a secondary interest, that he wants to trap the deer also, it's also mutter. So that's good, difficult. And the Ran thinks that it's also, even if you couldn't care less, it's only mutter. The Mishnah says if he wasn't aware that by locking the door, Noel's Beitzov in Imtza Tzvi Shama B'tach, he wasn't aware that a deer is getting caught. If he knows a deer is going to get caught, then it's a psikresha lo nichal, then it's a machlokes tesis in the Oruch. So some of the recent poskim, the Avnei Nezer with the Yeshua's Yankiv, with Rabbi Chana Basim and a few others, they all come with this compromise. They say, if you're really interested in trapping the deer as well as a secondary intention, that we agree with the Ran. Behold, that's called the Dova HaMaskaven, and that's also. But if you really couldn't care less about trapping the deer, there's room to be maker like the Rashba, that's not called the Psik Reshet Lo Nichale. Psik Reshet Lo Nichale is, I'm actually doing that Maisa. Let's say, I know that the bulb in the refrigerator was not unscrewed, and by opening the door, the light will go on, and I couldn't care less, because I can see there's enough light in the kitchen to guide me in the refrigerator. I'm going to open the door and close my eyes. I'm not going to use the fact that the light goes on. So that's a case of psikresha de la nichle. Why? Because by opening the door, I'm letting the button go out, and the button goes out. That completes the circuit. I did it b'yadayim. I turned on the light b'yadayim over here. That's not a grumma. I did it b'yadayim. But over here, he does a pula with the door, and by closing the door, he traps the deer. He's not handling the deer. The malach occurs in the deer. So if you're doing pula on one thing, and a malach occurs on another thing, so if you're intending, by doing the pula on the door, closing the door, you want to trap the deer, so the pula on the door relates to the deer. But if you couldn't care less about trapping the deer, so that's what these poskim, the Avnei Nezer with the Yeshuas Yanke, with the others, Abachonim Asma, that's where they come with this compromise. Perhaps that's not called a psik reshit. That's what they, in the recent years, that's what the poskim apply over here. A fellow's walking down the block, he's not handling the lights. How did it cause the lights to go on?
Timers?
No. When someone walks, when there's motion, so then the lights go on. Sensors, okay, sensors. But I'm minding my own. I'm walking down the block. I'm doing a pool over here. Then the malacha occurs over there. I'm not handling it. If I turn the switch and the light goes on over there, I turned on the switch. I turned on the light because the switch over here has a wire that's connected over here. But over here, because of the sensors, I'm not handling the place where the malacha is occurring. So then the malacha only relates back to me if that's what I was interested in doing. If I'm not handling it, the malacha doesn't relate to me. So lechatchili should really avoid it because the Ran holds that it's a psik reshit lo nichalei. Should avoid walking in a location where you know that there are sensors and the light's going to go on or your image is going to appear on a video screen or something like that. But if you can't avoid it, so then b'ikar din, we hold like this compromise of the achrayim that's less than a psik reshit lo nichalei. What's the story with Shabbos clocks to set up a system, Shabbos clocks on Erev Shabbos, that a melacha should occur on Shabbos? So there is a machloikis, b'silon b'sham, at the end of the first perek in Mishnah, at the end of the first perek of Masechet Shabbos. The person has a vat of dye, and he puts in wool, chunks of wool, and he wants the dye to be absorbed in the wool on Erev Shabbos and to continue to absorb on Shabbos. So he sets up a system that a melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. So the Mishnah has a machlokes b'sham and b'silul. We usually pass like b'silul, that it's permissible, with the one exception of food. If you're going to leave raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to continue to cook into Shabbos, that's forbidden with the Rabbanan. Gzeir Hashem Eichata B'Gecholim. He may realize that it's not cooking fast enough, or it's getting burned too fast, and he may poke around in the coals. So that's Gzeir. If you're Mechata B'Gecholim, someone pokes around in the coals, one is in violation of Mechaba Umavir, of both Mechaba and Mavir. Some of the red coals, some of the orange coals will turn black, some of the black coals will turn orange, so that's Mechaba Niz and Mavir Ando. So that's the introduction, that's the end of the first Perek. That's the background of the Mishnah in Perekira. That's why it's also to leave food on the fire without a blech. If you have a blech, then you have a hecker and you're not going to fool around. There's no chashash of Shema Yechata. But to set up any other system where the melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos, that would be permitted. So when they first came out with Shabbos clocks, so there was a big machlokes in Europe. They were publishing in the Torah journals of the various yeshivas and kollelim. Is that permissible? Maybe b'silul only permitted if the melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But if you set up a Shabbos clock, the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. The lights are going to turn on in the middle of Shabbos. Let's say you have a sprinkler system. I remember once I was in the yeshiva here on Friday night, and then I walked out. It was just 12 o'clock. So as we walked out, the sprinkler system went on, and it was watering the lawn. So they set up a system with a mashke maim lizraim is a melocha. It's a machlik, it's a nigmar, the first half of my cotton. It's a tolda. Is it a tolda of zoreh, or is it a tolda of chorish? But it is an iser. It's an iser deraisa. So is that permissible to set up a system that the melocha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos? So they had a machlekes in Europe, and the majority held that it was mutter. The Bishul will say mutter to set up a system, not only if the melacha begins on Erev Shabbos, even if it begins in the middle of Shabbos. Then Professor Simcha Asaf, who was in the Rabbanut, also published a manuscript. He found the Ksav Yad of the Rambam on Masechet Shabbos. Interesting that Ksav Yad was neither written in Hebrew, like the Mishnah Torah, nor was it written in Arabic, like the Pirush HaMishnayos and Mor Nevuchim. But rather it was written in Aramaic, and it was identified as the Ksav Yad of the Rambam. So it only conks out the beginning of the second Perek. Masechet Shabbos had 24 prokim. Shabbos is like a kala. In the days of Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 pieces of jewelry. I don't know exactly where. She has 10 fingers. A necklace, how many necklaces can you wear? Two earrings, a nose ring, whatever. 24 pieces of jewelry. So that's what the Mefarshim say, because Shabbos is a kala. Rabbi Yudan Nasi decided to make Masechah Shabbos with 24 prokim. These are the 24 pieces of jewelry, 24 tachshitim of the kala. So the... Pirush HaRambam that Simcha Asaf published only went to the beginning of the second parak. So on that Mishnah, the end of the first parak, where the Mishnah records Machlokes Bisham and Bisilel, so the Rambam writes three times, he has a long paragraph, he writes three times, Bisil only permitted, he says it based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that quotes, Bisil only permitted because the Melacha began on Erev Shabbos. If you set up a system and the Melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, then even Mesillah would agree that it's not permissible. Midirabbanan, it's not an Issa deraisa. They would agree that it's also Midirabbanan. So the Shaila was Chayz Venir again. Should we still rely on the Kula that they developed in Europe? Because most of the Rabbanim thought that it's Midirabbanan, like most of them thought Muta. So they decided at that time that since this Pirush HaRambam was missing for so many centuries, and they had already outvoted the Rambam, so they left it like that. That is Muta to set up the Shabbat, the system, where you use a Shabbos clock and the lights go on in the middle of Shabbos. Rab Zevin used to write book reviews every week, every other week for Hatzofet. Used to be the Mizrahi newspaper in Eretz Yisrael. I don't think it exists anymore. It closed down during my lifetime. When I was, 15 years ago, it used to be Hatzofet. The last 15 years, they don't have it anymore. So he used to write book reviews of Svarim that were just printed, and they collected many of the book reviews, maybe most of them, I don't know, and they put them in three volumes that are called Sofer Mesorim. Very fascinating. Every book review is of value. So he reviewed the Shadas and Chuvas of Rishonim, Achronim, and Pirushim, and Goinim, and Eitzar HaGoinim, and everything. Fantastic. He always has insights on everything. So he has this, when he wrote the review on this Pirush HaRambam, on Masech HaShabbos, so he writes this whole story that the Rabbanim decided that since this Pirush HaRambam was missing for so many centuries, and they had voted in Europe that it's Mutta, so it remains Mutta. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He doesn't relate to this Pirush HaRambam. He just writes on his own. He's not happy about Shabbos clocks. He thinks, he writes, if the Tanoim would have lived in our generation, they would have prohibited Shabbos clocks, that it should start a Maloch in the middle of Shabbos. It begins on Erev Shabbos. That's what Beis Hillel says. It's permissible, but to set up a Shabbos clock, the Maloch should begin in the middle of Shabbos. He writes on his own, he thinks if the Tanaim would be allowed to, alive today, they would prohibit it. But it was debated in Europe, and the meaning was Lahakil. So Moshe writes, the meaning is only Lahakil regarding turning on lights on Shabbos, because turning on lights enhances, quote, Shabbos, because there's going to be light in the room. But if you're going to, let's say, set up a Shabbos clock that to make a VCR, let's say there's a football game or there's a movie on television, so you have your television in the basement and you have a VCR connected and you have it that it should make a copy of this movie 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No one's going to be in the basement, no one's even going to see, no one's going to hear, nothing, you won't see anything. So Moshe thinks that that's not permissible, that doesn't enhance, quote, Shabbos. He thinks he's setting up a system that a malocha, even if it's only malocha de Rabbana, whatever, a malocha's beginning in the middle of Shabbos, shouldn't do it. It's only mekubal, it's only accepted in Europe, it's accepted to use a Shabbos clock to turn on lights on Shabbos, that enhances, quote, Shabbos. Or he was already an old man when he first got an air conditioner, so he could live without an air conditioner. That was only a luxury. I don't know, we're younger people, we don't see how anybody survived in the earlier generation without air conditioning. But Moshe says that doesn't enhance, quote, Shabbos. To set up a system that the air conditioner should go on in the middle of Shabbos, that's not allowed, because that does not enhance, quote, Shabbos. So that's his chumer. Many Rabbanim just ignore what Rav Moshe said. They said, Shabbos clocks are mutter, so everything is okay. Rav Moshe thinks that you should only use it to enhance, quote, Shabbos. Why does it enhance, quote, Shabbos? Why can't you just leave on the lights the whole Shabbos? It'll cost you another $2 to leave all the lights on the whole Shabbos. I'm not sure exactly. Rav Moshe doesn't explain. I have two possibilities. Either that years ago, the Shomer Shabbos were not so wealthy, and if you tell them that they have to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos, they'd rather not. They couldn't afford to leave on the lights the whole Shabbos. So the alternative would be that they'll have the light coming in, the sunlight will come in through the windows. I remember when I was a little boy, my parents lived in Philadelphia. There was no yeshiva for me. She only went till the fifth grade or the sixth grade or something. My parents sent me to New York to stay with my grandparents, and I was raised by them for a while. I really forgot how many years. At least 1 year. So I remember they couldn't afford to leave on the light. So the house, my grandmother just lit the candles in the kitchen. When the candles went out, it was dark. And she left a little light in the bathroom in case someone had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. The rest of the day, you read Svarim by the window. And if it was raining outside and it was cloudy and dark outside, so you could hardly read. It was dark, dark in the house. But they couldn't afford, they were poor people, couldn't afford to leave on the lights the whole Shabbos. It's either because they simply couldn't afford it, or because they needed someone to sleep in that room. When you have a lot of children, you have a small apartment, so someone's going to sleep in the room, or you're going to eat tomorrow morning. So if you leave on the lights at night, the person who wants to sleep, they won't be able to sleep. So you have to turn off the lights after the benching. You have to have the lights arranged such a way that you go up and go on in the morning again. So that's what Reb Moshe says. It's only permissible to use, he thinks it's only proper to use a Shabbos clock to turn on lights and so on if it's going to enhance Kvod Shabbos. There is a question. The Mishnah has a gzeira midrabbanan, peres hanoshrim, fruits that fell off. Let's say apples fell off from the tree on Shabbos. So the Gemara has a gzeira midrabbanan, you're not allowed to eat it. Gzeira shem yitlush, you may enjoy it so much, you may forget that it's Shabbos and pull off another fruit. So any fruits that fell off by themselves, you're not allowed to eat. So let's say mashkin shazavu, you have grapes, so juice oozed out from the grapes by itself, or any other oranges or something. So mashkin shezova me'aleim, you're not allowed to drink. So the Gemara in the first sugya in Beitzah seems to assume very clearly that these are two distinct gzeres. Mashkin shezova, one gzere, peres hanoshim is another gzere. The Gemara has four explanations why is Beitzah should also be on tefasser, what's wrong. So one opinion is that it's part of mashkin shezova gzere, one opinion is part of peres hanoshim gzere. The Ramban writes later in Beitzah, the Ramban writes on Perek Ein Tzod, in the third Perek in Beitzah, he writes not like that sugya. He understands there's another sugya that's cholik on the first sugya, that basically it's one and the same gzera. Peres Anosh Mashkan Shezobu was one gzera de Rabbanon, a molocha shenasis me'eleho. You're not allowed to gain benefit from it, because the Mishnah distinguishes if a goy did a molocha for a Jew, the goy, the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos has, they didn't have systems the way we have in the airplane land, so they roll over the staircase and everybody walks down the staircase. So when a boat would arrive in the dock, so no two boats would be the same size, and they had to build a new staircase for the passengers to climb down from the boat. So if there's if the chief rabbi arrived in the middle of Shabbos and they know the chief rabbi came, so they're going to build a staircase specially for him, so the Nachri is doing a malacha for Yisrael b'miyuchad, so then you're not allowed to be nenef. The Nachri does a malacha for another Nachri, so then a Jew is permitted to get Hanoah. The Nachri does Malacha for a whole group of people, so it's determined by the Rav. If Rav are the people on Nachrim, so then it's considered Malacha Shanasis Bishul Nachri. So he may be Nana from it. If the Rav are the people on whose behalf the Malacha was done, Yisraelim, so it's considered Nachri Shasa Malacha Bishul Yisrael, and the Jews are not allowed to get Hanoah. What's the Yisrael in the Mishnah? A Malacha was done for a Nachri as a Heter, or Malacha done for Yisrael is an Issa. What's an afkamina? What if the Malacha happened by itself? It wasn't done, not for a Jew, not for a Goy. Peres HaNoshim Mashkan Shezovim. Happened by itself. So the Ramban understands, and Perek Ein Sod, and the Ramban Mechamis understands, Malacha Shenasas Me'eleho is also to be Nene from it. The only time it's Muta, any Malacha Shenas Me'eleho, it's one and the same Gzer. Peres HaNoshim Mashkan Shezovim. Same thing. It's if it's Malacha was done on behalf of a Nochri, then it's mutter for the Jew to be nana. A malacha happened by itself, it's also. So when the lights go out in the middle of Shabbos, how are we permitted to be nana from the Oran there, according to this Ramban? Should be considered like a malacha shenasas me'eleho. So I think the answer is, that's not called a malacha shenasas me'eleho. It's not the same as peres hanoshim. The Jew set up the system on Erev Shabbos, so it's considered as if a Jew did the whole malacha on Erev Shabbos, not that a malacha happened by itself in the middle of Shabbos. This is the famous Nemukei Yosef, in Bava Kamma, he asks Akasha, the Gemara, around the Abcha Beis, and Bava Kamma has a machlex, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shlokish. In the Chumash, it says there's a din of Eish. Arba Avos Nezikin, Shor Bor Mava Hever. So Hever is Ki Avarish Sodo Havara, means a fire. So the Gemara has a machlex, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Shlokish. If a person takes a torch, and he does an act of arson, and he burns down someone's house, that's Odom HaMazik. Odom HaMazik, God the Mordli Yonam Be'Meshegik Be'Memezit. But what if he didn't take a torch, do it like that. He had a barbecue, and then he put out the fire, and he thought he put out the fire. And then he drove home, and then it turns out that some of the coals were still burning hot, and then it burns down the whole city. So that's a machlekes of Yechon Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says that's Momen HaMazik. It's not Odom HaMazik, and we paskin like Rabbi Yechonon. Sometimes it's only Momen HaMazik, and sometimes it's Odom HaMazik also. Isha Mishum Chitzav, just like if I shoot an arrow, Chetz, that's Odom HaMazik. So Isha, if it's my fire, and I was negligent, I didn't realize that I left the barbecue, and I didn't succeed in putting it all out. So Isha Mishum Chitzav, it's considered like Odom HaMazik. Mamish, the difference will be that Eish is Potter on Tomon, but Adam HaMazik is Chayv on Tomon. So that's a question. If he didn't do it on purpose, it wasn't intentional, it's Eish. So we pass an Eish and Mishum Chitzav, that is Chayv on Tomon. It doesn't have the Pturim of Eish. So then Muki Yosef has this famous Kasha, and that Muki Yosef is a commentary on the side of the Rif, and Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. They don't have Iran there, so they printed the Muki Yosef. And Erevin, they didn't have Iran, they didn't have an Amuk Yosef, so they printed the Rabbeinu Yohannesen. So the Amuk Yosef asked the Kasha, how does a woman bench licht on Erev Shabbos and the candles continue to burn into Shabbos? Isn't the woman in violation of Havara? Isn't she doing Malach Isha Mishem Chitzov? It's considered as if the person is doing the Malacha. So he answers, yes, the person is considered as if the person did the whole Malacha on Erev Shabbos. If I light a candle and it's going to burn for 5 hours, it's considered as if I burned the whole candle on Erev Shabbos. That's not a malacha shenasas. According to the Muki Yosef, if I set up a system and the lights go on Shabbos morning, it's not considered isha mishim chitzav as if it's not considered as if the lights went on by themselves. I set up the system. It's not considered as if I turned on the lights on Shabbos. It's considered as if I did everything that's going to result. So if I did everything at the time that I set it up. And therefore he comes up with a chidush niflo. Let's say a person is an arsonist and he takes a torch and he burns down a whole city, and then he gets a heart attack and he drops dead, and millions of dollars of hezek occurred after he died. A little hezek, a few hundred dollars worth of hezek occurred while he's still alive, and millions of dollars of damage occurred after he died. So whatever occurred after he died, can you say that he's mechuyev to pay? It happened after he died. So he said, no, it's considered as if everything that comes as a result of what he did, as if everything is contained within the activity that he did while he was still alive, as if the millions of dollars of hezek were done by him while he was still alive. And the Ramah paskens like that in Shulchan Aruch. The Tzais HaChesh is not so happy. He thinks you shouldn't follow that Ramah. He disagrees with this Nemuk Yosef. That's what the Nemuk Yosef says. So according to that Nemuk Yosef, it's the same over here. I set up the Shabbos clock that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos. Not considered Malacha Shanasas Meileho, that according to the Ramban, you're not allowed to. That's one big Zer Derabbanan Mashkin Shazav Peres Anoshim. It's all the same. That's not a Malacha Shanas Meileho. It's considered as if the Yisrael did the whole Malacha on Erev Shabbos. There's a big machlokes based on this idea that the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef said. What if a person takes some raw food and he puts it into the oven to cook? He takes raw chicken, raw meat, puts it into the oven the last minute before Shkia on Shabbos, and he sits in the oven for an hour and a half until it becomes Roy Lachila. So do you say it's considered as if the whole cooking took place the last minute before Shabbos was over? So the fellow cooked the food on Shabbos. So do you say no? If I put food in the oven on Shabbos and I take it out 5 minutes later and didn't get a chance to cook yet, so the Gemara says, I'm not Chai Mishum Mevashel. So over here, also, I put it in the oven and it didn't get cooked yet. Then it continues to get cooked on Matzoy Shabbos. So I cooked it on Matzoy Shabbos. I didn't cook it on Shabbos. So that's a big machlekes between the Avnei Nezer and the Chalkas Yoyim. The Chalkas Yoyim was also, they were both Chassidish Rebbes. So the Chalkas Yoyim was a bit of a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, but it was a contemporary. It was also, they disagreed on a lot of things. So that was one. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Avnei Nezer was right, that should not be chayv mishum mevashel. If he puts it in the oven on Shabbos and it gets cooked on Matzoy Shabbos, should not be chayv. But the Chalkas Yoyim said it based on this, the Muki Yosef. The Muki Yosef said if you light the candle on Erev Shabbos and it burns for 5 hours, that's considered as if you burnt the whole candle on Erev Shabbos. So if you put food in the oven the last minute before Shabbos is over, all the cooking after Shabbos is considered as if you did the whole thing on Shabbos. Okay, that was the big machlokes. Pardon me, what?
Is that called the derech haisa to put it in raw?
Kedera Chaisa is, the Gemara says, if you put in raw food into the oven on Erev Shabbos, and the nature of it is, so usually if you put raw food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos, you have to put a blech, because if you don't put a blech, you're afraid Shema Yechata, he may poke around in the coals. So Kedera Chaisa, the Gemara has a heter, that if you put in raw meat, that even if I poke around the coals, it won't be ready for tonight. It's going to take so long, the fire is simply not hot enough. It's not going to be ready for tonight anyway. It's going to be ready 2 o'clock. I'm not going to stay up till 2 o'clock. If it be ready by midnight, then I can wait, and then I'll eat it tonight. And tomorrow morning it's going to be ready anyway. I'm not going to come home from shul till 10:30, 11 o'clock. So if tomorrow morning it's going to be ready, even if I don't poke around in the coals, and for tonight it's not going to be ready, even if I do poke around in the coals, so there's no gain, there's no benefit by my poking around in the coals. So you don't need a blech. That's a din in the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik said that he thinks that Rav Henkin is right. Rav Henkin was the big poysik here in New York before Rav Moshe came from Europe. Rav Henkin said that in America we don't have any Kedera Chaisa. What is it? How is it shaykh that it won't be ready for tonight? You make the fire higher in the oven, and it'll be ready for tonight. So it'll take you, sing Moz Miris. Sings Moz Miris. By my wife, she gives one course and another course and another course till you get to the main course. It's an hour and a half, and he sings Miris, and he tell stories, and he talk Lashon Hara, whatever. It takes forever. So that whatever food you put in the oven on Erev Shabbos will be ready for that. Be ready in another 2 hours. So you'll eat. The meal can take 2, 3, 4 hours. It takes forever. So that's why in America, that's Rav Henkin and Rav Salvesh, they thought there's no Kedera Chaisa Heter in America. And this kasha that the Nebuki Yosef asked, how is anyone permitted to bench licht on Erev Shabbos and the candles continue to burn into Shabbos, if Yaldisha Mishum Chitzav is considered as if you are lighting the candles on Shabbos? So the Nebuki Yosef gave his answer. It's considered as if you did everything on Erev Shabbos, as if you burned the whole candle on Erev Shabbos. That's where the Tzoyse is not happy. He thinks we shouldn't paskan like that. Ramor, who quoted this whole Nebuki Yosef, that if the guy got a heart attack, he's the Shtab the Hanachosim, he's mechuyev to pay everything, even the hezek that occurred after he died. So the Achrayim give a different answer. The Nesibis on Choshim Mishpat and several other Achrayim from that same generation, the Chemda Shlom and others, they all give a different answer. And it's such a good answer, Rav Soloveitchik forgot. He always used to say, this is the Nebuki Yosef's answer. He would forget that Nebuki Yosef gave a different answer. So the Achrayim give the answer that you cannot violate Malacha Shabbos B'Shei Ba'al Tasa. There is no such thing. When you're talking about Malacha, whether Malacha Deraisa, Malacha Derabbanan, it's impossible to violate Malacha Shabbos B'Shei Ba'al Tasa. When it comes to Gzeiris, so the woman benches licht on Erev Shabbos and the candles continue to burn into Shabbos. She's totally Shei Ba'al Tasa on Shabbos. So that can't be considered an Issa Malacha. There's no Malacha Shabbos B'Shei Ba'al Tasa. Yeah. So that's Yodua. The question is, on Shabbos there are three categories of things that are asa. The melachas d'arayis, the melachas d'rabbanan, and then there are gzeiris. A gzeiris sometimes can be violated to shei b'al tasa. Let's say I leave raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and I didn't put a blech. So you say I'm in violation when I put the raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. I didn't violate anything. Before I'm about to bench licht, I can take it off of the fire. So when do you violate? When you bench licht and you mekabel Shabbos and your raw food is on the fire, so you're in violation of the Gzeira the Rabbanu, Shemi Yechata, that's called Shehiyah, to leave raw food on the fire that should cook into Shabbos. That's the one exception to the rule. Normally, Bisil Paskin, you're permitted to set up a system where Malacha begins on Erev Shabbos, it continues into Shabbos. One exception to the rule is food, because of the Chashash Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. So when you're in violation of Shemi Yechata, when Shabbos enters and your food is sitting on the fire, so you're in violation, B'Shei V'Al Tasa, you can violate Gzeiris B'Shei V'Al Tasa. It all depends. How did the Chachamim formulate the Gzera? Did they formulate it that the Gzera can be violated b'shei b'al tasa, or the nature of the Gzera is such? You can only violate b'kum b'yasei. That's famous. Rabbi Kivega has a dion in his Shabbos Atshuvos. This happens all the time in business. They sell stocks online, or they sell things online, and I put in an order when the stock goes down to a certain price, I want to buy 1,000 shares. When the stocks go up to a certain price, I want to sell my 1,000 shares that I get. And that occurs on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'm in shul, davening, learning, sleeping in the afternoon, totally shei b'al tasa, but the kinyan takes effect because I set up the system on Erev Shabbos. I set up the system that when it goes to this low price, I want to buy. It goes to the high price, I want to sell. So Rabbi Kivega is mistopic to say that that's an Isser of Mekach HaMemka. Mekach HaMemka is prohibited in the Rabbanon. We're afraid that he may forget and all right. It's not that Mekach HaMemka is Ksiva Midrabbanon. It's not Ksiva Midrabbanon. It's not a Malach Midrabbanon. It's a Gzeira Midrabbanon. Different. There's a Malach HaDeraisa, there's a Malach HaDerabbanon, and there's a Gzeira. There are a lot of differences between them. Rabbi Kivega has this chumra that he thinks that to do Mekach HaMemka, even Shev Al Tasa, would be prohibited. This comes up Halacha LaMaisa whenever Erev Pesach Holi is B'Shabbos. Comes up in the world of business, but people are selling or buying shares, and they make such an order that they want the Kenyan to take effect in the middle of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Or it comes up when you have Erev Pesach Holi is B'Shabbos, and the rabbi always sells the chametz on Erev Pesach for the Balabatim. So if Erev Pesach is Shabbos, has to sell the chametz on Friday, the day before Erev Pesach. So what do you mean he's selling the chametz? But they're going to eat chametz. The Balabatim are going to eat chametz. Usually when the rabbi sells the chametz on Erev Pesach in the morning, at 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, the Balabatim finished eating the chametz. They're not going to eat any more chametz. Because it's awesome the rabbanah to eat chametz 2 hours before chatzais. And then there's 1 hour that the rabbi can sell, because an hour before chatzais it's also banah. And an hour before chatzais it's also bachilah. So that hour that it's also bachilah, that's when the rabbi sells the chametz. So that's the shayla. When Erev Pesach Choli is b'Shabbos, so according to Rabbi Kveger, the rabbi cannot make the mechiras chametz on Friday and say whatever chametz will remain on Shabbos morning at 10:30 in the morning, we're selling it to the goy. Rabbi Kveger holds that that's a violation of Mekach HaMemka. So you have to say whatever chametz will be left on Shabbos morning at 10:30 in the morning, the kinyan should take effect today on Friday. So that's an issue of brera. We pass a name brera. You want the kinyan to take effect on Friday. You don't know which chametz. You don't know which chametz the people are going to leave. Which chametz are they going to eat up? So that should be the klal. How do we pass a brera? If you want a chalois to take effect on a dovah she'ena mevura, it'll be mevura later. But you want a chalois to take effect now. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. And lahalocha, there are different opinions. So we paskin, bottom line, we paskin with respect to dinam deraisa, aim brera, with respect to dinam derabanan, yesh brera. So selling your chametz, that's an institution deraisa, to sell property. So with respect to a din deraisa, the rule should really be aim brera, so it shouldn't be valid. So those who follow Rabbi Kveger and they sell it when Erev Pesach Holi is B'Shabbos, they sell the chametz on Friday, Erev Pesach, whatever chametz will remain tomorrow morning by 10:30 on Shabbos should be sold as of today at 10:30 in the morning, meaning you sell the same time, you don't wait till late Friday afternoon. So it's a embrera with respect to a din deraisa. So they say the whole need for the mechiras chametz is only because of bal yeroi derabbanan. Why? Because since we're all mevatel al chametz, the Gemara says benatar bebitul belev sagi, bitul takes off the bal yeroi. So the whole need for the mechiras chametz is only mederabbanan, because we're afraid he may not shemi imtzke gluski yefeifia. He may change his mind. If he's just relying on bitl, he may change his mind. So the whole need for the mechiras chametz is only midrabbanan. So therefore, with respect to din midrabbanan, you say yesh brer. So this is very difficult kula for two reasons. One reason is the need for the mechiras chametz is only it's only because of a bal yeroi derabbanan. But the Mechiras chametz is an institution deraisa. I sell metaltalim that I have. So that's a din deraisa. By dinim deraisa, the din is an aim brera. And kasha number two is, the need for the mechiras chametz is ben atorah, because the bitl chametz doesn't affect the chametz that you plan to sell. Bitl means I say, hefker, I couldn't care less. Kafir, the alma, I'm not going to use it, not going to gain any benefit. What do you mean? Selling to a goy, you're charging him money. So you're not treating it like kafir, the alma. So the mechiras chametz undoes the bitl, even if you made a bitl before the rabbi sells the chametz. But you authorize the rabbi to sell the chametz. So the rabbi selling the chametz on your behalf undoes your bitl on this chametz. Your bitl is on the chametz she'ini yodua, whatever other chametz you want to sell. But the chametz that, whatever chametz you have in the house that you're not aware of, but that chametz that you want to sell to the goy, that there's no bitl chametz on them. So that's a big pella. That's a bit. So most have the practice, the different practices. When a Pesach falls on Shabbos, there are two different shtori mechira. Some have the practice to sell the chametz as of Shabbos morning. They'll make the kinyan on Friday, and the kinyan should take effect on Shabbos morning. That's not an issue of brera, because by the time the mechira will be chal, it will be mevura. The mechira is going to take effect on Shabbos morning, At 10:30, at that time, it'll already be Yodua, Mevura, which chametz is being sold and which chametz was eaten up. And Rabbi Kevega will insist, no, you have to have the Mechiras chametz should be on the day before, it should be chal, before Shabbos begins. You shouldn't have a Mechira that's chal on Shabbos. That's a famous machlokes. What's some gzeres that Rabbanon can only be violated by kumbia. I'll say some can be violated by shebi al tase. Mechiras chametz is Mechira, Mekka chamemka is a machlokes, Rabbi Kevega and other achranim. What's the nature of this gzera derabban? Maybe the gzera mekach hamemke can only be violated b'kumbi yaseh, maybe not b'shevi altas. That's what we assume, that the gzera mekach hamemke is only violated b'kumbi yaseh. If I made the kinyan on Friday that it should take effect on Shabbos, it's really muta. That's a question, how far, what's included in the gzera of mekach hamemke? What about to give a gift? So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos has the machlik and sachranim about that. Is giving a gift also included in Mekka Chamemka? Maybe Mekka Chamemka is only also because I'm going to charge money for it. So he's going to have to pay money. And he's not paying me on Shabbos, so I may forget, I'll write down, or he'll write down, that he owes me $20. He's buying something, he's buying an umbrella or something. So someone's going to write down. But if you're giving a matana, say again, if you're giving a matana of karaka, so karaka, usually you write a document. But metaltum, usually don't write a document unless someone's going to owe money to the other guy. But if it's a matnas metaltalim miyad liyad, if you make a kinyan chalipin on the umbrella and he doesn't have it yet, so you may forget, you may write it down to make sure you deliver the umbrella to him. But I gave him the metaltalim miyad liyad, it's a matana, he's not going to pay for it. And it's metaltalim, it's not karka, so that's a big machlekes. And many hold that there's no gzera derabbanan on metaltalim miyad liyad. And others hold that it is also. So that's the famous shaila. If the rabbi wants to give the bar mitzvah boy a gift on the occasion of his bar mitzvah, so many amachmir that the rabbi will say is putting away the sefer after Shabbos, the bar mitzvah boy should pick it up, or he'll give it to somebody on Erev Shabbos to be kind on behalf of the bar mitzvah boy. So when he gives it to the boy on Shabbos and Shul, he says, someone was ready zech on your behalf on Erev Shabbos. So there won't be a violation of Mekka Chamemka. Yeah, that's a shaila. In Europe, the practice used to be the Shabbos of the Oifruf, the Chosim would say at Dvar Torah. And every village had an Erev, so they used to give a drasha geshank, they used to give matnas ha-drasha. The chosin, if it was the chosin knew how to learn, he would say a dvar Torah on the Shabbos of the Erev, and then the balabatim would give him a matana, lekovid the dvar Torah that he said, for simchas chosin mekala. So that's a question, how was that permissible? That was the practice, how was that permissible? That's matnas metatla miyad liyad, so some hold that bechlal it's mutter. According to those who hold that it's also, how do they have such a practice? So Rabbi Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch comments on this practice, and he says, the Mishnahis have that on the first 2 days of Sukkot in each Shalachem. First day in each Shalachem, second day in Chutzlar, it's a Machlokes. So Rishayim, we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, you also need Shalachem. On the Yontav Shen Shal Gomes, you also need Shalachem, second day of Sukkot. So they have, the Mishnah has a case, Rabbi Gamliel was a chief rabbi, so he was salaried, so he was a rich man, so he paid a fortune of money. They were going on a boat, coming back from Rome to Eretz Yisrael, because they had to negotiate with the government in Rome. So he had a fortune of money, so he bought dalaminim. Then on the boat, the others didn't have dalaminim, so he gave them a matalam and aslatz, so gave it to Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva gave it to Rabbi Lozim and Azari, each one gave it to Rabbi Yeshua, then he gave it back, ultimately he gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. So the Bahag asked the question, it's Mekka Chamemkar. He assumes Matnat Pataltalim is not allowed, even Miyad Liyad. So he says that the Mokka Mitzvah with his room to be Mekal, since you need Shalachem, so the Mokka Mitzvah is Mutam. So that's what Rabbi Kevega says, that this is also considered Mokka Mitzvah, Simchas Chosin. They didn't get married yet. It's not the Shabbos of the Sheva Brocha, it's the Shabbos of the Oifruf. He considers that a Mokka Mitzvah also. And then he writes that someone wanted to give a leichter, a candlestick. To the chosin as a matana, they hadn't lit candles in it this Shabbos, so it wasn't the buses of Dabah Hasa, but it's miyuchad for lighting candles in it. So Rabbi Kevega says, if it's miyuchad for lighting candles, it should have the din of a klisha malachta le'iser. So klisha malachta le'iser is muta le'taltel b'makam le'tzarach gufa le'tzarach mekomo. So he says this is considered le'tzarach gufa. I want to give it for simchas chosin. I want to give the lachta of simchas chosin. So he allowed the balabos to give the gift on Shabbos of a leichter. If they would have lit candles in it this Shabbos at the leichter, the candlestick would be a bosses the rasa. They hadn't lit in it. So just the klisha malachta l'isa. So that's considered tzara gufay. All chidushim. Yeah, big chidushim. brushing teeth is an issue. Rav Moshe created an issue of brushing teeth. So the Gemara has a din that schita, you're not allowed to squeeze out. One of the malachas is dosh. Dosh is when you detach the oichel from the psolas that grew together. So if you detach it. Or if you have a shmat, then you squeeze out, I have a brother-in-law who enjoys pickle juice. So he'll take pickles, squeeze out the juice, and drink the juice. So that's, he's squeezing. He's separating the oichel from the mashke. If you have two things combined, if I have a big challah and I slice a challah, that's oichel shenifrad me'oichel. That's the same thing. But if you detach oichel and psodos, oichel and mashke, you separate them, that's a malach abdisha. So if you squeeze out pickles because the pickles are soggy and you don't enjoy soggy pickles, so that's sochtan legufan is muta, the memeim is asa. Sochtan legufan is muta. But if he squeezes out because he wants to drink the juice, so that's an isa, that's a malach avdosh. So what about to squeeze out the shmatas? To squeeze out, also you're not supposed to squeeze out a shmata. Sometimes you squeeze out, let's say you have filthy diapers that are dirty. So if you're going to wash the dirty diapers on Shabbos, that's a malach malabein. You're cleaning, lalabein means to clean the dirty diapers. And even just the people knew that, the religious people knew, you're not allowed to clean the diapers, you're not allowed to squeeze it out, because that's malabim, but they didn't realize if you have a container of water and you throw the dirty diapers in, when my children were little, we used to still use diapers. Now nobody uses cloth diapers, now they use their Pampers, and you throw them in the garbage. But years ago, in the Shadim, centuries ago, when I had little children, we used to have cloth diapers. So to throw the dirty diaper into a vat full of water, the Gemara says, Shviyosa Zeuki Busa. Just to have it soaking in water is the beginning of the malabin, and one is in violation of malabin, so you're not allowed to do that. And if you squeeze out the diapers, for sure that's malabin, that's a malacha malab. So sometimes it's dosh, Taisa discuss it. When is it dosh to squeeze out the shmata, and when is it malabin that is considered that you make it clean? So the Gemara has, what about to squeeze out oil in your hair? The Gemara has a case, a woman is giving birth and the doctors say, we need some oil. We don't have any oil here. You have an oil in a different house, but that house is outside of the area, so you can't carry. So the Mishnah says, let her put oil in her hair, very sanitary. Let someone put oil in their hair, a woman has long hair, and then she'll walk over here, the oil is in her hair, then we'll squeeze out all the oil and we'll use it for this woman who's delivering the baby. Today they would never allow such a thing. But in the days of the Tanaim, that was the suggestion. The Gemara says, squeeze out the oil. It's the schita. The Gemara says, ain't schita b'seya. There's no problem of schita by hair. It doesn't really get absorbed. The oil is trapped in between the hair. It's not that it's absorbed in the cloth. So that's a machloek is Rashi and the Ram. What do you mean, ain't schita b'seya? Mutar legamre, or it means that it's only midirabbanan. So since it's only midirabbanan, so it's mutar for the yumi oladeh. So we assume that ain't schita b'seya. It's mutar minatar, but it's also midirabbanan. So Moshe thought that normally people hold the toothbrush, they hold the bristles of the brush under the water is flowing, and then after they rinse out the bristles of the brush, and they put on the toothpaste. So Moshe thought that if you hold it under the water, then you brush your teeth, just like the schita midrabbanan by Seir, so too the schita midrabbanan on the bristles of the brush. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the bristles of the brush are much less than the hair. He said in the hair, at least the water gets trapped in between it, so it looks like schita. He thought that the bristles in the brush, the water is not trapped at all. The bristles, it's mamish plastic. He thought that that's hetagam. He didn't think that was right. Then Rav Moshe had another chiddush, that even if you don't, Rav Moshe says if you rinse your mouth with water and you spit out the water, then you take a brush and you brush your teeth, the bristles are going to absorb some of the water, so to speak, absorb, not really absorb. It's going to get, it's same as holding the bristles under the flowing water. If your mouth is all full of water, then you spit it out, it's full of liquid, then you brush also, it's going to, but he said, that's muta. It's only aser if you soaked it with water beforehand, and then you squeeze out the water. Then it looks like schita. But if you rinse your mouth first, and then take a dry toothbrush, even though it gets moist, and it gets all absorbed with the saliva and so on, he thinks that's muta. But then Rav Moshe has another chiddush, even if you take a toothbrush that's dry, and you put on toothpaste, that's a malocha, because you're smearing the toothpaste on the teeth. What exactly is the malocha? So Rav Soloveitchik hadn't read the tshuva of Rav Moshe. He thought that Rav Moshe said it's aser because of memachik. Memachik is if you have a piece of rough wood and you sandpaper it down, you make it smooth, so that's a malocha. So he thought that Rav Moshe asked that because the teeth are not smooth because you have guk on the teeth, and you make it smooth by brushing the teeth. So the Gemara says if you have dirty dishes and you wash them off, that's not memachek, because memachek only applies if you take off, you scrape off part, like you have a rough surface of wood and you sand paper down. You make it smooth by removing the roughness. But over here, if you would be removing part of the enamel of the teeth, if you brush the teeth 100 times, the teeth should disappear. The teeth don't disappear. The dentists say it does have an effect. It does take off a mashu the mashu, but it's not noticeable. So Rav Soloveitchik thought it can't be. It can't be. It's not memachik. So someone, Rabbi Michal Shurkin, was attending to share that. So he said, no, Rav Moshe didn't ask it because of memachik. He asked it because of memareach. Told it a memachik. If you have a rough surface, let's say you have a floor that's rough of your shoes, and you put polish on the shoes to make it smooth, or you put, what do you put on the floor to make it smooth?
Wax.
Wax on the floor to make it smooth. So you take a rough surface and make it smooth by removing the roughness, that's memachik. If you take a rough surface and make it smooth by adding on something, that's memareach, it's a tolda of memachik. So Moshe said that you're making a new smooth surface. I said, what new smooth surface? So Michal Shulkin explained. Because they advertise that it makes an invisible protective coating around your teeth. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, and you believe it? What do you mean? That's a baba maisa, that's advertised. And he said, even if it were true, that it is true. But they say that it's invisible. How could they be amaloch? It's invisible. So he thought that the whole thing was a joke. He thought that both points didn't make any sense. Moshe asks because of the bristles, schitan, the bristles, and Moshe asks because of this invisible, smooth, protective coating around the teeth. About using a bar of soap. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos because it's memachik. If you have you buy a new bar of soap, so it usually has some design on the top or it has the name of the company on top. So then when you use it, every time you use it, you're removing a 16th of an inch. It gets smaller, smaller, smaller till the whole thing disappears. So if you have a rough surface on, you have a rough surface because it has a design or has a name on it, says ivory or something. Then if you use it long enough, so you make it into a smooth surface by removing part of the surface. So that should be memachik. What if you have a bar of soap that is smooth? I already used it many times. It is smooth. But by my using it, I'm creating a new smooth surface, which is a 16th of an inch lower. Every time I use it, I use up a little bit, so I'm creating a new smooth surface, but I had a smooth surface beforehand also. So that's a question. So there were Gedolim in Europe who assumed that to use a bar of soap is mutter on Shabbos. I think the generally accepted opinion is that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to use a bar of soap, even though it already is a smooth surface now, because you're creating a new smooth surface. Yeah. We mentioned before that Amir al-Nachri is usually prohibited with the Rabbanon. But Mishum Yusha Beretz Yisrael, the Gemara says in Gittin, Avches HaMbez, you're allowed to. Are there any Heterim for Amir al-Nachri? So the Gemara has different Heterim. The Rishonim have based on Gemaras. So this Gemara says, B'makam Yisha Beretz Yisrael. So that's the Ramah quoted those Rishonim has said, because he's writing Ksav Ha'umais. So it's a Shvuz de Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah. It's Amir al-Nachri and the Rabbanon. Shvuz de Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah. Now they say, no, Mishum Yisha Beretz Yisrael Heitiru. That special Heter. Then the Gemara said, "Befer shachol l'shem b'sakana." Tzorchei hatinuk. Let's say if the baby is throwing up or anything, even though there's no absolutely no sakana whatsoever. Let's say the baby's crying; he wants his bottle, and you have to have a warm bottle. So you're permitted to ask a goy to heat up the bottle for the baby, because tzorchei hatinuk is considered chol l'shem b'sakana. So chol l'shem b'sakana, the rabbanon zamut mishum tzabal lechaim. If you don't milk the cows on Shabbos, the cows are going to be in pain. So Mishum Tzabal Chaim, you're allowed to. If there's a Sreifa, and Sifrei Torah are going to get destroyed, so B'mokum B'zoyin Kisvei HaKodesh, you're permitted to ask the Goy to carry even in a Rishus HaRab Derais. Then Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayodam, that B'mokum Mitzvah Derabim is Mutter. Let's say the Erev broke, and a lot of people live in the city, you won't be able to notify everyone that they're not allowed to carry, that the Erev broke. So that's considered B'mokum Mitzvah Derabim. So you're permitted, I'll try to ask a Goy to please drive in his truck and climb up on the ladder and bang nails and make knots and do all the malachas deraisa, but makom mitzvah derabim is mutter. That's what in some of the big hotels where they have hundreds and hundreds of people, over 1,000 people sometimes, on Shabbos and Yontif. So the law requires that they have to wash the dishes with burning hot water. If he just has to go, he wash the dishes. And if, let's say in my home, there's no law, so I can ask a Goyish maid, please wash the dishes. So she can theoretically wash the dishes with cold water. It's much easier if you wash with hot water. The dirt, the grease gets off much easier. And you don't burn your fingers from the freezing cold. You use warm water. So that's Adaita de Napshe. I didn't ask the Goy to use hot water. So if she turns on the hot water, that's on her own. But if it's a public place, a restaurant or a hotel, so the state law in New York State requires that they have to wash it with burning hot water. So I'll try Tamir Lenochri and a Malacha Deraisa to turn on the hot water on Shabbos. So that's if you have hundreds of people. So that's a mitzvah derabim. So the Makkah mitzvah derabim, we allow Amir Liakum. Where is this din? Amir Liakum is only Midirabbanan. If it would have been a Nisa Deraisa, we wouldn't have any Heterim. Only a Cholish Eishbis Hakana. What is it based on? So that's what the Pasuk says in Aseres Adibros. So Ger HaShebisharecha goes on a Ger Toshav. If it goes on a Ger Tzedek, he's included in Ato. If it goes on a Ger Toshav. What do you mean? A Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos? So the Gemara increases, the Testament Aleph has a three-way Machlokes HaTanoim. Some Tanoim say, yeah, the Ger Toshav is obligated to observe Shabbos to a certain extent, the way we observe Yantav or the way you observe Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says we don't paskin like either of those Tanoim. The Halacha is like Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. The Ger Toshav is not permitted to observe Shabbos at all. So what does the pasuk mean? Megercha Hashem b'sharecha. So the Gemara leaves it hanging. So Tosis and Yevamos explained around the Aflamed Vavas. So Tosis Amemvov in Yevamos. So Tosis explains what it means is Amir leGer Toshav is anisa deraisa. If he asks a Ger Toshav to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, that's anisa deraisa. So even if he's not a Ger Toshav, that's called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein deraisa Tikkun. They pattern the din of Amir leNochri along the lines of the din of Amir leGer Toshav. Amir leGer Toshav is deraisa. Mir and the Nochri is only the Rabbanon. Okay, maybe we will stop here, but Lineta, tomorrow we'll continue. I'm trying to give some highlights of malachas that are not so well known. Most of the malachas I assume everybody is familiar with. Okay. I'm going to Widmer now. There's a conference today about Tchelos. I think I'm the last speaker. Okay. Have a nice day.